Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a better place. I want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the 3.1 million Seattle and Puget Sound area and the fastest-growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world with over 100,000 listeners in over 60 countries. Today's shows will be really special because during the first hour from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, I'll be interviewing Daniel Sheenan. He's a wonderful Harvard College-trained scholar and an attorney who does so many good things to make this world a better place, and he'll be coming on in just a few minutes. Following him during the second hour from 3 to 3:15 p.m., I'll be bringing on Michiko Hayashi, the director of the Moto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan. And the reason I am is because I want her to join me in doing prayers for Fukushima. Fukushima, as you know, is a problem, but I've been directed by my friends in the Galactic Alliance to say prayers for Fukushima because our prayers, we are powerful spiritual beings, and I know that our prayers really will help. So that she'll be coming on from 3 to 3:15, and then from 3:15, about 3:15 to 4 p.m., I'll be bringing on two wonderful psychics from the Mount Shasta area in California named Michael and Raphael Tamura. They're good friends of mine, and they've had decades of experience being psychic mediums, and I know that their interviews should be really out of this world, just like the name of my program. I really appreciate everyone's support for this program because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I also have a spiritual program where I can put people in touch with their with loved ones and people who've passed on. And if you're interested, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793 or toll-free at 1-888-879-8339. I want to thank everyone so much for the donations and support, especially Faison and Shirley in Florida, Angela and Beverly in Texas, Anita in Dublin, Ireland, Eli in Texas, Marku in Finland, Judith in California, Emma Louise and Jan Erik in Carstensen in Norway, and all my many friends around the world who've supported the program and helped me make this world a better place. I also like to thank the many other sponsors of the show, including Crystal at the Crystal Voyage Bookstore in Tacoma, and the wonderful Orion Tech Computers of Bend, Oregon. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers for the show. And any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services in over 60 countries. With that, I'd also like to thank my dear friend Carol's been designing my website and providing wonderful support, and my wonderful friends Michiko Hayashi and Hiro Emoto and Mrs. Emoto of the Emoto Peace Project and Emoto Office in Tokyo, and my friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, and as well as my angelic and earthly family. And I couldn't do this program without my wonderful producer, Eric, and my station manager, and manager, Eric Kramer, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. Out of This World Television is also now broadcasting three times a week on Comcast Channel 22 here in the Puget Sound area on Tuesdays at 8:30 p.m., Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m., and Saturdays at 7 p.m. on Comcast 22. If you're not able to reach the station, then you can look at all of my television programs on YouTube under either Ted or Theodore Marr or under Out of This World. With that, I'd also like to ask everyone listening today to send lots of love and light to Michiko Hayashi's mother, Masako, who suffered a stroke recently, and I know that your love and prayers really help her. My book, Messages from the Masters, Cosmic Messages from Professor Albert Einstein, President John F. Kennedy, Senator Robert F. Kennedy, Nostradamus, Mahatma Gandhi, and Dr. Masaru Emoto, as well as the Galactic Alliance, is done, and it should be published within about 2 months. The book is all about humanity's beautiful, bright future. I want to thank everyone so much for their support from our recent Galactic Wisdom Conference that was held in Olympia, Washington, here in the United States in earlier this month. Because of its success, I'll be having another Galactic Wisdom Conference on March 9th, 10th, and 11th, 2018 at the same location in Olympia at 9101 Stillicum Road, Southeast. It's about an hour south of the Seattle airport, and I'll be bringing in some of the world's best healers, psychics, and UFO people, and I hope you can come. Also, I'll be bringing back the Omoto people to give Hato vibrational machine demonstrations on March 13th and 14th. Before Dr. Moto passed away in 2014, he treated about 10,000 people with these Hato vibrational machines, and he always thought that the cause to any physical or spiritual condition was to change one's vibration. And he's very successful at this, and I'm so happy they'll be coming back. I wanted to tell you quickly about some upcoming events, and then bring Dan on the show. At the end of May, from May 25th to the 28th, 2017, there'll be a wonderful conference in Finland to celebrate their 100th anniversary. They're bringing in a lot of wonderful people to the conference, including the people from Dominor in spiritual community in northern Italy. Will be talking about the music from plants. The conference will be held just outside Helsinki, and for more information, please email me at outoftheworld1150@gmail.com. Also, at the end of June, from June 22nd to 27th, I'll be sponsoring a spiritual trip to Mount Shasta, California. I consider Mount Shasta to be the root chakra of this beautiful planet, and we hope to see Sasquatch UFOs and get in contact with the people of the Hollow Earth. During my last spiritual trip to Mount Shasta last September, six people who were a part of the trip actually physically went into Telos and Shambhala as part of in the Hollow Earth. And as part of this trip, I also will be visiting the major portals which lead into the Hollow Earth. If you'd like to come, you must follow certain spiritual protocols, including not eating anything with eyes or a mother for at least 3 weeks before the trip. This is a requirement that the people of the Hollow Earth have asked me to ask everyone. And for more information, please send me an email to outoftheworld1150@gmail.com or call me at 509-750-9793 or toll-free at 1-888-879-8339. I'm also in telepathic contact with the priests of the Hollow Earth, people there, and I can and if you'd like to come, please contact me. The cost is just $200, and there will be free camping right next to one of the major portals to the Hollow Earth, right on Mount Shasta. Visiting Mount Shasta can be a life-changing experience, and if you're interested in going, please email me or call me. There's another beautiful conference in the Dominican Republic called the World Conference on Peace and Light. The dates are August 18th, 19th, and 20th, 2017. They'll be having some of the world's best psychic, spirituals, and UFO people. Their website is www.paxluxmundi.com, and I hope you can all come. And with that, I'd like to bring Daniel Sheenan on my show. He's been waiting patiently the last few minutes. Dan, welcome to Out of This World Radio.
Terrific. Thanks, Ted. It's good to be here.
Oh, it's so good to have you on. You've done so many amazing things, but I'll give a short little brief biography of your work. In 1977, you served as special counsel to the U.S. Congressional Research Service's report to the President on extraterrestrial intelligence and the UFO phenomenon. You've done so many fascinating things. You were an attorney to Dr. John Mack before the Harvard Faculty Committee in 1994, and as general counsel to the Disclosure Project in Washington, D.C. in 2001, and the Citizens Hearing on Extraterrestrial Intelligence in 2013. You've done so many fascinating things. You've been involved in many, many different lawsuits in the United States, trying to make this world and the United States a better place, including the Pentagon Papers case, New York Times versus the United States. I'm just skimming over these. There's a lot of cases here with the Watergate burglary case, the Wounded Knee trials. And most recently, I've also read that you've been involved in the Standing Rock oil pipeline as well.
That's right.
You were also involved in the Karen Silkwood case, a case that I followed closely years ago, the Three Mile Island case. Of course, that was from the nuclear accident they had in 1979, the Iran-Contra affair case, the Greensboro massacre case, the American Sanctuary Movement case. And I'm just so happy to have you on today. Your website for more information is www.romeroinstitute.org. That's romeroinstitute.org. And with that, welcome to the program, Dan. I'm so happy to have you on today.
Terrific. Thanks, Ted.
You know, I have to tell you, I've heard that I think that the push for justice, the sense for justice, is inherent in all of us here on the planet. And you're a warrior. You're a spiritual warrior, Dan, trying to make this world a better place. And I want to tell you, too, that as a psychic, I'm getting the message for you now that you get a lot of help from many different angels, including Archangel Michael, who is also a spiritual warrior.
Well, I can use all the help I can get.
Well, you know, it's funny. As I said that, this entire studio lit up. It does that when the angels are here, and then they're all clapping for you. Well, Dan, we've got about 50 minutes and for the interview, and I was wondering, what areas would you like to focus in? Would you like to focus in on Standing Rock, or are there any particular areas you'd like to start off the show with?
Well, I think that the full ramifications of the Standing Rock case are very important, and some of them are not what might occur immediately to people about it. Mm-hmm. They know that over 800 people have been arrested, a large percentage of them being Lakota Indians, people from the Ocheti Sakowan Oyate, the people of the Seven Council Fires, mm-hmm. whose territory that is, mm-hmm. Into which they've been attempting to drill this pipeline to pipe the oil down from the Baca up in northern North Dakota all the way down to Illinois. What a lot of people don't know is that every single drop of that oil that they're trying to pump through that sacred ground will in fact be used outside of the country. It'll be sold to other countries for pure private profit of the private corporations that are part of the Energy Transfer Partnership. Second thing that they may not know is that two of the partners in the Energy Transfer Partnership are, in fact, Donald Trump and Rick Perry, his energy secretary, had private investments in that, and the governor of the state of North Dakota, as well as the commander of the North Dakota State National Guard that rallied some 1,000 militarized police to attack the demonstrators. Those are some of the less known facts about it. But what it really represents is kind of a paradigmatic confrontation between the administration of Donald Trump that is absolutely dedicated to rolling back all of the safeguards that have been imposed to try to keep the fossil fuel industry from massively ruining the entire climate of our planet through global climate change. That, as we know, the Intergovernmental Panel on Global Climate Change from the United Nations, over 2,500 world-renowned scientists have all confirmed that the excreting of the carbon and methane into the atmosphere through the burning of fossil fuels is, in fact, massively negatively impacting the entire climate of the planet. Mm-hmm. It's melting the polar ice caps, altering the pH factor of the oceans, the solidity of the oceans. It's reducing the density of the oceans, threatening to cause the underwater currents to rise to the surface and dissipate that actually generate the temperate zone of our entire planet, where 80% of all the food is grown. And of course, the thing that people know about a lot is the potential rising of the levels of the sea to inundate up to 10 miles of the coastline all throughout the entire world, where some 63% of all the people will live by the year 2020. I mean, these are the kind of consequences of this oil corporation and the fossil fuels, the burning of coal, in the fracking to dig out natural gas out of the shale rocks around the world. You know, this is a disaster in the making, and we now have this person who's been elected president, who is basically lifting all of the restraints against them. Not only that, but just canceled all of the restrictions against poison pesticides that have been getting into the food and killing children and farm workers around the world. It's an absolute disgrace of what's going on. And here you have all of the instrumentalities of the state being brought to bear up in North Dakota on behalf of a private pipeline. You know, the pipeline is they've been digging oil out of the Baca now for the last 15 years and shipping it down to Illinois on trucks and trains, and now they've just decided to simply to increase the profits for their private shareholders, which include Donald Trump and Rick Perry and the governor and the head of the National Guard for North Dakota. To increase the personal profits to them, they've decided they want to punch a pipeline all the way down through the sacred territory of the native people up there. And the people rallied and camped out in the front in the path of the pipeline. And so the government, the state government, now with the cooperation of the Trump administration, sent in highly militarized, mechanized military forces with Bearcat war vehicles mounted where they usually have 50 caliber machine guns that where they've been trained in Afghanistan and Iraq and in the Middle East. They now, the same guys have been recruited into the National Guard and the state police and the sheriff's department, armed with full-scale M16 automatic rifles, and they've attacked the demonstrators, firing stun guns, grenades into the crowd. They're tearing the flesh off the arm of a woman, blinding another woman with rubber bullets.
That's awful.
You know, and pounding them with these 1,000-pound per square inch water cannons, you know, in sub-freezing weather. You know, this has been going on now, and so that what the people need to really understand is that this is a lot more than just some Native Americans trying to protect their burial ground.
Right.
This is a major confrontation on the part of a tiny elite, 0.01% of the population of our world, who own private shares in the oil and stock. In the coal companies, et cetera, are just engaged in this huge counteroffensive against the whole rest of us, the whole 99% of us in the world that are trying to stop global climate change. And they're just dedicated to making the billions of dollars that they want to make by sucking the last drop of oil and digging the last pound of coal and sucking out the last, you know, metric foot of natural gas so they can make profits on it.
Well, I have to tell you, Dan, I wanted to just run this by you. There was a story I read about the internet. This was last fall, when just before there were a lot of protests.
Yeah.
That there was litigation, that the Lakotas were involved in litigation with the oil companies there on the site. And the oil companies had asked for a complete listing, a listing of all their sacred sites, which they gave the court.
Yes.
That one afternoon, the next
September 3rd,
and
that's right.
And then wasn't I had heard that, and I know you know more about this than probably you're closer to it.
Yeah,
than
they
I
went out and bulldozed them. What they did is, as soon as they demanded a list of all the sacred sites, where people said that these sacred sites had to be protected, and it was going to prevent them from getting a permit to drill the pipeline through there. And so, as soon as they got the list, the very next day, within 24 hours, they sent bulldozers to the sites and bulldozed them down, and said, "There, now it's moot." Therefore, there's no more potential future damage to these things. And since it's outside of the immediate area of the pipe area, that there's no jurisdiction for anybody to punish us for having done it.
I have a lot of problems with that.
Yes.
Number one, the attorneys for the oil companies breached their ethical duty in giving that to the oil companies with respect to, digging up all these Native American burial sites, which were probably federally protected, aren't they? Aren't they protected by some?
Well, they are, but the fact is that there's almost no funds in the fund for paying for people to protect those.
Yeah.
You know, so the Native people have to protect them themselves. The
mm-hmm.
rangers are not there. You know, the Trump administration is now cutting in order to increase the military budget by $56 billion a year. They're going to be cutting all the major programs that have to do with forest rangers and protecting sacred sites and national parks. You know, say nothing about education and health care and in art programs, all mm-hmm. the way, and funding for disadvantaged students to be able to get to go to college. I mean, they're just going to cut clear across the line. So the point is that these people, the Native people who are standing up against this pipeline up in North Dakota, are standing up for all of us.
Right.
Who need to take a stand against this type of activity on the part of this administration and get them out of there.
Well, I want to run something by you else, too. Back last fall, there were about 10,000 ex-military people showed up at the Standing Rock and said that we're going to protect.
Yeah, there were a total of 10,000 people there. There were about 4,000 military came in. They're veterans
mm-hmm.
who
mm-hmm.
came in. There were 6,000 of us there already.
Right.
And what happened is that the word came down that the state police and the state National Guard and the sheriff's departments and the city police from all around
right.
were mounting up a major potential offensive to come onto the property to try to to beat everybody and arrest them and drag them away.
Right.
And the veterans from around the country rallied and came from all around the country to the site and lined up across the creek and stood between them and the military guys. Because personally, 99% of all of those people that were in the state National Guard and the state police and the sheriff's department and the city police are all former veterans.
Wow.
You know, that have been desensitized by being sent over to Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran.
Right.
You know, they haven't gotten to Iran yet, but they're all through there. They're used to occupying the population that lives in an area.
Right.
And, of course, why were they sent there? They were sent there to occupy the Middle Eastern oil fields for the seven major oil companies that have the exclusive lease agreement to pump all the oil out of there.
Do you think it's a possibility? I hope this doesn't happen, but do you think it's a possibility that there could be civil war if Trump pushes this and let's say 10 to 20,000 ex-military veterans show up? Do you think he'd actually employ the Army, for example, or the Air Force to bomb them, to bomb our own citizens?
Here's what the real challenge is. The real challenge is, Ted, is that the oil companies that are part of the energy transfer partnerships have hired a private security company that's called Tiger Swan Private Security.
Uh-huh.
They are a subsidiary of Blackwater International.
Bad news.
And Blackwater International, as you know from Jeremy Scahill's book entitled Blackwater, is a private military force that's been recruiting top-level special forces military from around the world. And they now have F-15 fighter planes. They have tanks and armored personnel carriers. They're a regular full-scale military.
Wow.
They are basically trying to develop the capacity that Theodore Shackley and Oliver North and the others tried to develop in the so-called Enterprise that got caught during the Iran-Contra scandal.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to build their own independent Air Force, Army ground troops, and Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Blackwater is. And they've been hired by the private oil companies, and we have video footage of them standing directing the National Guard and state police to who to go and attack.
Oh, wow.
You know, that's what's really going on here. So what we've got to do is we do not want to get engaged in the people that have been coming up there have been virtually 99.9% completely peaceful.
Sure.
What they had is some of the people responded when the militarized police attacked them, you know. And for example, on the night of November 20th, what instigated that whole thing is that the state police and the National Guard came down and put two large vehicles on a bridge that was separating the Ocheti Sokoan property from where the pipeline was. They blocked the bridge off and announced that it was an unsafe bridge. And people couldn't come onto the bridge, a total lie, complete lie, and put these vehicles on the bridge and saying that it wasn't strong enough to hold people walking across the bridge, and so they blocked it off.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened is a number of Braves got together and went out and picked the truck up and started to carry it off the bridge, and at which point the police just attacked them.
Wow.
They started pouring tear gas onto them and rubber bullets and concussion grenades, and then they turned on the whole crowd, the completely peaceful crowd. They were sitting in all they did is pick the vehicle up and started to carry it away. And they designated that as a riot. And then all the police exploded on them for like 3 hours of just pouring firepower onto all these people and injuring hundreds of people, some of them extremely seriously, as I pointed out. You know, and then they have tried to charge Chase Iron Eyes, the Democratic Party nominee for the sole congressional seat in North Dakota, who was there at the demonstration, have tried to charge him now with inciting an insurrection. And that's what they're doing. And so I'm defending Chase in the case. And, you know, that we're preparing a major federal civil rights lawsuit against them, laying out the actual narrative of what it is that actually happened there.
Right.
You know, they're trying to convince everybody with local news media up through there that might be potential jurors that this was some kind of insurrection on the part of renegade, hostile Indians against the innocent white population up there. You know, I mean, that's how they're framing this thing. And you got Steve Bannon in the White House characterizing this as a terrorist organization, a domestic terrorist organization that justifies implementing all of the tools of anti-terrorism that the government has been ginning up over the past, you know, since 9/11.
Right.
Trying to protect us against the indigenous savages that are going to be rising up to challenge Christianity and capitalism. Now, those are his own words, Steve Bannon.
Right. Right.
That's how they're casting this whole thing. And so we as a spiritual people and a people that believe in spiritual power and assistance from people beyond, both in other dimensions, people who have passed from this material dimension, and other people in other star systems, you know, to all rally through our metaphysical capacities and transcendental capacities to lift up love and caring and not get engaged in a dialectic, not support any type of armed military civil war against these people. You know, they have more tanks, more guns, more airplanes, more bombs than anything that our people are going to be wanting to muster. And besides, that's not our nature. You know, the people want to pray and ask for peace and ask for loving kindness and caring, you know, and say, look at, you know, why would you move a pipeline that had been determined by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers if it were placed 10 miles north of the 93% city, white, 93% white city of Bismarck, and they determined that it would be too great a danger to their water supply? Why would you move it right down half a mile from the Great Sioux Reservation and put it there?
Yeah.
You know, they did it because there's racial prejudice. There's not any doubt about it. They said, the 91% of all the people in the state of North Dakota are prejudiced against the native people.
Right.
And so let's put it down there. And then their prejudiced government officials will support it and will stop opposing it. And that's what they did. They put it right straight down onto the right next door to the Great Sioux Reservation on land that had been very problematic and it's having been taken away by a simple act of unilateral exercise of alleged eminent domain power on the part of the United States government, just unilaterally taking the land away from the people to build a huge dam and back up a big lake behind it.
Well,
that's what they did.
I have to tell you, you're absolutely right. I've done some research into that history, and from what I've read, you're absolutely right, Dan. The one thing, I think we're all powerful spiritual beings, and everybody out there knows this is not the right thing to do. And so what I'd like to do, I did this a couple of months ago, and I think it helped. I'd like to ask all my listeners around the world to send lots of love and light to Standing Rock, to North Dakota, to President Trump, to Rick Perry, to all of them, to realize what they're doing, and also to visualize the area being returned to its pristine natural state. But more than that, also for the utilization of new free energy sources that will take the place of oil, because I know that we have them here in this country. They're just the technology is just silenced.
Yep.
But there's no reason why we should use a fossil fuel, which is an antiquated system for energy production, and it's very 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 environmentally destructive. And I know the oil companies must know about it, as are some sectors of our government does too. They just haven't released it. So we have this antiquated system, and there's no reason for all this misery. So I just want to take a moment now and ask everyone around the world to send lots of love and light to Standing Rock, send lots of love and light to President Trump, Rick Perry, and visualize that area returning to its natural state in a peaceful area with the pipeline ended, but also new energy sources being developed around the world and also in the United States as well. There's no reason for the oil companies even to exist now. I know that there must be free energy sources out there available. So let's just take a minute, visualize the whole area calming down, settling down, and returning to the beautiful, pristine, natural state where people are living in harmony and they're not in constant conflict and battle. Because I promise you one thing, if Trump tries to push this again, you're going to have thousands and thousands of people show up there. It's going to get pretty messy, and the American people are going to stand up. We're not going to allow it. So, okay, thank you, everyone, for sending that love and light to Standing Rock. Go ahead, Dan.
Well, so that's what I'm saying, Ted, is that people need to understand that This is a microcosm of the big macrocosmic problem that we're faced with here,
right,
which is basically the 0.1% of the people who own the oil companies deciding to mobilize, seize control of the United States government.
Mm-hmm.
And try to establish an alliance between the oil corporations here and the oil corporations in Russia. With all that oil up over the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea, this is something that they've been trying to hook up that partnership through people like the whole administration of George H.W. Bush, organizing a thing called the Carlyle Group.
Uh-huh.
And they sent into that area of the Black Sea in Russia whole mining explorations and oil explorations, and they've discovered the oil there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that there's this secret alliance that they're trying to forge between the oil companies here in the United States and the West and with Russia.
Wow.
So that they can monopolize the oil and have that pushed back into the forefront of being the means of supplying energy in the world, even though it's destroying the entire environment of the planet. I mean, this is so heartless because it is a function of the corporations. The corporations that were formed back in 1877, you know, almost 10 years after the end of the American Civil War in 1868, they created this new business vehicle of establishing a corporation in which people who own the resources of a given company can completely immunize themselves from any kind of legal liability by transforming themselves into simple stockholders.
Oh,
and then the management is completely immunized against legal liability. The boards of directors are immunized against legal liability. And all the owners in the form of stockholders are immunized against any legal liability.
Wow.
And the only entity that can be held liable is the corporation itself.
Wow.
And whatever resources or assets it happens to have at in the bank when a judgment is entered against it.
Wow.
And this is a device that was explicitly designed by the robber barons.
Mm-hmm.
Back during the robber baron era.
Right.
To have no soul, have no conscience whatsoever, no caring about the workers,
mm-hmm.
you know, driving the workers down to the lowest possible income that they can give them, stopping any kind of protections, safeguards at the workplace, you know, to have children in the mines,
mm-hmm.
you know, the women in the sweatshops, in the textile mills. I mean, we've been through this whole thing before. And what they're doing is they're stripping away now all of the safeguards that have been imposed as a result of the Chautauqua movement that was generated by the churches and religious communities in the United States.
Yeah.
This all began by the National Board of Homeland Ministries of the National Methodist Church. The United Methodist Church organized the Chautauqua movement, and starting in 1874, they began to teach all the people around the country about what the evils were of this major corporate capitalism.
Right.
And that's what we have to get back to. We have to generate a new Chautauqua movement around the country, energized by spiritual values, affection and compassion for the poorest of the poor, the people who are victimized by this,
mm-hmm.
because it's mainly the poorest of the poor around the world who are going to be suffering first and the most from global climate change.
Right.
Pope Francis has pointed this out in his June 2015 encyclical called On Care of Our Common Home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's pointed out that it is transnational corporate capitalism that is causing this problem, and that it is the poorest of the poor that are going to be suffering the worst consequences and the fastest consequences. And we are called upon as spiritual beings to rise up and to do away with this particular form of energy in the world, to develop new alternative sources of energy, clean, non-global greenhouse gas generating energy,
right.
and to develop an entirely different worldview. Because
right.
he pointed out, most people don't know this about his encyclical, but he said, you know, the transnational corporations have generated an entire worldview of consumerism.
Right.
What they've done is they've undermined people's sense of value in their own individual personhood.
Right.
And what they've done is they've turned people into simple consumers.
Right.
And so people's their whole sense of self-valuing is rooted in what it is they own,
mm-hmm.
and what they possess,
mm-hmm.
and how much money they have,
mm-hmm.
instead of having genuine substantive value for life.
Right.
And And they've developed an entire worldview of postmodernism that has actually utilized their intellect to destroy all of the beliefs that undergird any kind of absolute valuing of human beings and other life forms on the planet, and actually undermined the entire sense that our planet is a living organism. They've generated a whole postmodern deconstructionist worldview, and that they've tried to recruit people into believing this. And that's what we have to overcome.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Because I followed what was going on in Standing Rock last year, and for the police there what I read, they shot off the arm of one young lady.
Yeah.
They shot off the knees of another 13-year-old boy. And that kind of behavior, I mean, you're used to that maybe in North Korea or in former Nazi Germany, but in the United States in 2016, 17,
yeah,
it's very foreign to us here. And yet, are those police officers getting arrested? I hadn't heard anything.
No, not a single one of them. There was one person that we got arrested who tried to come across the creek on the northern boundary of the Ochetee Sikoan property with a fully armed AR-15. He drove his pickup truck down into the crowd of people and jumped out with a fully loaded AR-15 and started to come across the creek. He was confronted by three Oglala warriors who stood in the pathway, and we called the BIA police to come and get the guy. They mm-hmm. came and arrested him, but they let him go, and then the next day they charged the three people who stood in the creek to keep him away with terrorizing him and charging them with engaging in assault against the guy.
Yeah.
And they never touched him. They never did a thing to him. They just told him he couldn't come in with a gun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that the distortion of the justice system there is dramatic. And now Donald Trump is on the verge of appointing 103 new federal judges. And he's going to just infiltrate the entire court system with all these people from the Federalist Society who believe that the Constitution needs to be read in the way that it was intended, they said, originally back in 1789, so that the people could own slaves. Women, in fact, should not be considered human beings. They shouldn't be able to vote. They shouldn't own property. You know, that they should interpret the Constitution just exactly as the way it was at that point in time.
What about Native Americans? They gained, citizenship.
They were not even counted as, you know, they couldn't even be counted as citizens at all.
And not until 1924 in the United States.
You know, so this entire war against the Aboriginal people or the indigenous people of the world is a very specific tenet of Steve Bannon. And, of course, it was taught specifically in the Nazi Party and the Fascist Party. Mm-hmm. They had a system that they called the Ordensbergen, in which they trained young German men to become SS officers. And of the three castles in the Order of the Castles, or Ordensbergen, there was a second castle in which they taught the ideology of the authoritarian fascists, and that was that the indigenous people, the aboriginal people of the world, the nomadic people, were threatening the purity of the bloodline of the Caucasians.
Yeah.
And so that you see completely undergirding the entire Trump administration, this concept of these foreigners, these dark-skinned foreigners coming into our country and ruining our country, and mobilizing the white male population to try to express fear, building walls to keep the colored people, the darker people out of our country, ordering them to be sent out of the country, prohibit them from coming into the country. This is an old adage. And now we have Steve Bannon delivering a secret Skype conference to this ultra-right-wing group of fascists in the Knights of Malta and the Opus Dei at the Vatican, trying to recruit them into participating in a major worldwide campaign against the indigenous people who are threatening to rise up and threaten the purity of Christianity and capitalism. There's a full video of him delivering this talk to them.
Wow.
You know, we need to know what it is that we're really confronted with here, and people have to rally. Because remember that if you don't come to the aid of the native people at Standing Rock, you remember the famous adage in Germany with Reinhold Niebuhr.
Right.
He said, you know, when they came for the communists, I was not a communist, so I did nothing.
Right.
Then they came for the labor union people, and I was not a labor union, so I did nothing.
Right.
Then they came for the Jews, and I wasn't a Jew, so I did nothing.
Right.
Then when they came for me, there was no one left to help.
Right.
You know, and so people need to move now, need to move fast, not to wait for them to be coming for you and your neighbors.
Right.
They've put into the new national defense budget, Section 1021 of the National Defense Authorization Act, trying to authorize Trump to order any U.S. military forces into any county in the country to take into custody an American citizen without any probable cause to believe they've committed any crime, merely on the articulable suspicion that this person may have given aid of any kind to any person who has engaged in hostilities against the United States or any of our allies in the war on terrorism, which includes Saudi Arabia, and other countries that have engaged in horrible activities against their citizens.
Right.
And so anybody that has engaged in hostilities against one of those countries, if anybody in the United States, an American citizen, is giving any aid to them in any kind, they can be swept up with no probable cause, taken into custody, put in a military detention facility with no notice to their family, no right to be represented by counsel, no right to a jury of their own peers,
mm-hmm.
and can be put in front of a military tribunal with no notice of who the witnesses are against them,
mm-hmm.
with no notices of what the charges are against them,
mm-hmm.
and they can be convicted by a simple majority of a military panel and put in federal prison for life.
Wow.
Now, this is the condition that we're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying that people need to understand what Standing Rock is all about.
Right.
This is standing in the pathway of this type of dark energy that is being infiltrated into our sacred land, into
mm-hmm.
our sacred lives,
mm-hmm.
what the Lakota call the black snake.
Mm-hmm.
This is the great black snake that has been mythologized in the Lakota spiritual tradition, that one day there would be the effort to move the black snake through their sacred territory, and it would be the beginning of the end of the Wachuchi, which is the white people. They've
mm-hmm.
got to move to help these people now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people can send contributions in. We've got to pay for the legal defense for 800 people.
Wow.
They can send it into LakotaLaw.org. You know, LakotaLaw.org. It's as simple as that.
Good.
You know, we have to hire North Dakota legal counsel. Those of us who are legal counsel, I've done trials in 28 states around the country.
Right.
But in order to defend them in the state of North Dakota, the Bar Association has required that there be a North Dakota attorney who is a co-counsel with us, whom they can hold responsible for anything we say or do.
Oh, really? They don't allow Pro Hoc Vitae where you come in as a guest attorney?
You have to have a local North Dakota attorney motion for you, and they insist upon them being paid. And so they're figuring that's going to keep outside lawyers from coming in to help.
That's not right.
And so that what we need to do is we had to pay one of the lawyers $5,000 just to do the preliminary hearing for one of the defendants. You know, that this is and go to the arraignment for them.
Wow.
So this is what we need. I mean, people can say, oh, what can I do? Or wasn't it awful what we did to the Indians 150 years ago?
Right.
They're doing it right now.
Right.
And all they have to do is go to LakotaLaw.org and click on and give a contribution for us. I'm not getting paid for doing any of this.
Sure.
I'm doing this for free.
Sure.
But we have to pay the local attorneys. We have to fly in and out of there and have a place to stay to do the cases for them.
Sure.
But we need help from the people around the country.
Sure. Well, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I was going to ask you how can people help, Dan. That's wonderful. Have you yourself been threatened personally when you've been there defending cases?
No, I mean, they threaten to arrest you all the time, you know, because
mm-hmm.
they set up these barricades and boundaries where you can't go. And you know, we arrived the night that they were putting the water cannons down on everybody,
mm-hmm.
you know, but they stop you on the highways and they pull you off because They see it's a rent-a-car, and they try to ask you what you're doing there, and let's see your ID, you know, and they try to hassle you and everything. But, you know, that this is what they've done is they've established a military zone in North Dakota. They've basically declared the whole place a basic military zone, you know, like they have in the Middle East. And they've set up basically martial law through the whole area, closing off the highways and refusing to plow the highways when it snowed. In prohibiting any ambulance services from coming in to help any people that are there, you know, that's what they're doing. And so I say the people around the world need to rise up and stand against them. You know, they've now dug the pipeline. The federal judge in Washington D.C. has refused to enter a temporary restraining order. You know, taking the position that it isn't going to hurt anything to dig a hole. You know, they've already destroyed those sacred sites, so those aren't in danger anymore. You know, and if they dig a big hole through there, you know, you can always spill it in later. And if they put the pipeline in, you can always take the pipeline up afterwards if you win. And even if they start pumping oil through it, you know, you can always make them turn off the oil and take the pipe out. So he keeps on refusing to give any kind of preliminary relief. And said, we have to have a trial and listen to the discussion of what is going to happen, how safe are the pipelines. This Sunoco, who are one of the partners in the Energy Transfer Partnership, they have had more leaks in their pipes than any other oil company in the world. They've had 200 major oil spills out of their pipelines just since 2010. You know, and so that this risk that they're imposing upon the sole source of the drinking water for the people of the Seven Council Fires by moving that away from 10 miles north of Bismarck, all the way down to the very point, right at the point in the Missouri River, where the entire people from the Great Sioux Nation get their drinking water. And it's no coincidence that they put it right there because they believe that the rest of the people in the state of North Dakota will support them putting it there rather than near their place.
So if there's a leak in the pipeline, the Standing Rock Native Americans then will have their water supplies ruined.
That's right. It's right over the Oglala Aquifer, right under the Lake Ochoee, which is where their water is, and under the Missouri River, where they have a pipe into the river to get their drinking water. And they put the pipeline right there. So, but what I'm saying is that this is a microcosm of the larger macrocosm, so that we need to understand that this is the confrontation of organized transnational corporate capital, you know, that has created this particular business model that has been condemned by Pope Francis, has been condemned by the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops as an avaricious, greed-based economic system. And we need to have a more just and honest economic system where you don't have 0.1% of the people owning more property than 90% of the rest of the people of the world all combined. You know, I mean, this is totally out of balance. It's totally disharmonious to the entire natural rhythms of the natural law of our universe and of our planet. You know, so this is what people need to look at. And that's why I think people need to rally to this. They need to understand the deeper dimensions of this. And they need to move against the kind of militarization of their local police departments. You know, bringing in military supplies and Bearcats for them to ride around in military uniforms, you know, and in recruiting all of the guys that have been in the military. And if they don't go to work for Blackwater International, which is going to hire out to private corporations, like you know, hire an army, like Shell Oil, hiring Blackwater to go in and suppress the indigenous people in Africa who are trying to oppose their drilling there, you know, or in Central America, where they're actually killing people who are organizing opposition to them drilling in the middle of the jungle, the most biodiverse place on the planet. They're trying to drill huge oil wells there, and when the local indigenous people try to organize, they bring in Blackwater, just like the Pinkertons back during the days against union organizing, and they're beating these people, disappearing them, and assassinating them. I mean, that's what's happening here.
Right. Well, through it all, though, thanks to your efforts, Dan, and many other people who I know are going to stand up to this, I don't see them finishing the pipeline. I don't care even if Trump and Rick Perry are in favor of it. I just don't see them finishing because there's too much against it. It's not the right thing to do. I just don't see them finishing it.
Well, they have to also, they also have people have to target the people who are financing this, like Wells Fargo.
Exactly.
Wells Fargo is financing in part Citibank. I mean, what they need to do is go to your local Wells Fargo and picket them. Get out front of them and say, no Dakota Access Pipeline.
Right.
And withdraw your money out of there. The city of Seattle has withdrawn $3 billion of money on deposit with Wells Fargo.
Wonderful.
That's what people need to do. That's where it hurts them,
right.
You know, to stop them from supporting these people.
Right.
If we can hold them off long enough, the other corporations to whom they promised to deliver the oil are going to stop doing this.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. And you can speak with your feet. It's very easy to withdraw, close an account at Wells Fargo or U.S. Bank is another
exactly.
one. And move it to a credit union.
That's
move
exactly
it to a
right.
smaller bank. There's many banks out there who have good people running them, who are ethical and wouldn't even think about destroying the environment or harming people like Wells Fargo does and U.S. Bank does. They condone that kind of activity.
That's right.
They don't care where the money comes from. And that's for that reason alone you should take your money out of those banks that support
that's right.
the oil pipeline. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You have to take your money out of the bank and send 10% of it to the Lakota People's Law Project, to
well,
Lakota
absolutely.
Law, and
pay for the
criminal defenses of these people.
Right.
I mean, that's the way that we rise up together and establish solidarity
mm-hmm.
and pull down into the material realm the transcendental experience and insights that we all have as a community and put it into operation. That's what it has to. We have to become
right.
operational in
right.
our spirituality.
Right, right, right. Dan, it's been so good to have you on the show today. You're a real spiritual warrior, and you've made a difference in the world and made it a better place. And I appreciate you so much coming on today, Dan, because you're empowering people with what you've said about standing up to this. And we've got about 3 minutes left, Dan, and I wanted to just let everyone know that I'm interviewing Daniel Sheenan. He's a wonderful man, an attorney involved in many cases, including the current fight against the oil pipeline in South Dakota. North Dakota. And I wanted to give you the rest of the time to say whatever you like to wrap up your wonderful interview today. Got about 3 minutes.
Sure. No, I think that the most important thing for people to understand is that we have to overcome the desire to engage in a dialectical confrontation with these people and be tempted into demonizing them
right.
and
sure.
and setting them as the ultimate other
right.
and trying to stir people to revolt militarily against them. You know, this is a temptation that our human family has because it's in our second chakra to establish this kind of dialectical confrontation
right.
against the ultimate other.
Mm-hmm.
But what we need to do is we need to lift up that energy and move up into the higher manifestation of that second paradigm worldview, which is a Taoist worldview, that there's a dynamic between the yin and the yang of the world, the masculine and feminine.
Right.
You know that these are mutual partners in the world. Every single one of the energies that is generic to each one of the different chakras in our body plays an important role. But we cannot allow any one of these to completely dominate. You know, we don't want people that are so rooted in the root chakra that they're filled with fear and anxiety about their own personal survival to the point where they're going to support an authoritarian leader to come in to try to protect their continued physical existence. That's what Trump is appealing to. And you get the other people like Steve Bannon, who's his principal strategic advisor. He's caught in the second paradigm of trying to generate this ultimate other, rendering and demonizing the indigenous people of the world as some kind of fundamental dialectical threat to the white population in capitalism and Christianity.
You know,
we need to rise up all the way through our power chakra, up into our heart chakra,
yeah.
and up into the higher energy fields of our whole human body and our chakra
mm-hmm.
system
mm-hmm.
to shed light on this situation. That the purpose of funding the defenses of these criminal defendants that have been charged with trespassing primarily on land where they have lived for 3,000 years
right.
is to shed light on this during the course of these defenses, not to antagonize them and demonize them, but to lift them up and shed light that shines on the jury so
sure.
that they see what it is that's actually happening here.
Sure.
And they get caught up in the light and that they then bring light to this thing and we can turn back this black snake, we can turn back the pipeline,
right.
we can turn away from fossil fuels and oil
right.
and find alternative sources of energy that are rooted in tapping into the unified field that bonds every ultimately irreducible integer of matter in the universe into one single harmonic and spiritual whole. That's where we need to go.
Right. I agree totally. I agree totally, Dan. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on today, Dan. And your website again, if people want to financially help out?
It's LakotaLaw.org.
Lakota Law. Could you spell that, please?
LAKOTA.org. Lakota Law, LAKOTALAW. LakotaLaw.org.
Wonderful, wonderful. And with that, Dan, thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate you taking the time. And we'll be starting our next show next hour in just a few minutes. We'll be talking about Fukushima with some wonderful psychics. Please stay tuned, friends.